keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
It's What's the 411. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All righty, Nashville. Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic Fisk University. And I'm going to reintroduce several times during the hour the Pastor's Roundtable guests for this month, and let them tell you where they are located and how they're currently doing their service. So if you're wondering why you're listening, we'll get that taken care of right now. Now, Reverend Edward Hill Jr., pastor of Holy Ground Missionary Baptist Church, you are, when we're not in the crisis mode and pandemic, you all are located where?
We are located in the historical Cameron High School on 1034 First Avenue South.
Okay, but since the pandemic, how are you all doing your service?
Well, we're doing it on Facebook Live and YouTube. We haven't been consistent on YouTube, but we are consistent on Facebook Live every Sunday at 10:30.
So you get a fresh service every Sunday?
Every Sunday.
Okay. And what's the... are you all listed as Holy Ground Church or Holy Ground? How are you listed on Facebook?
We're listed as Holy Ground Missionary Baptist Church.
Mm-hmm.
But to get our greatest response, you go to my page. Just look up me, Edward Hill Jr.
Oh.
And it'll come up, my personal page, and you'll see the sermon live. You'll see me on there live in my kitchen.
Okay. Well, be sure to... tell them you were on the radio today. Amen. Because, you know, Facebook gets a lot of plugs. But give us a little love. If you can do that, that would be nice.
Yes, ma'am. I will.
I mentioned to you when I talked to you, I think it was last week, that I'm familiar with Cameron. My son went to school there. We lived in Priest Lake, and they were bused all the way to Cameron from the Priest Lake area. That was a while. That's been some years back. And it was, seemed like quite a long way to get to that school. And but there's other schools been built since that time. What is the lay of the land in the neighborhood over there, Pastor Hill?
The neighborhood is a rich history of the neighborhood over here. It's one of the first neighborhoods of the Afro-American neighborhood here in Nashville, Tennessee. It's adjourned right to the Fort Nigley estate. Mm-hmm. Where they put the museum and all that. That was actually a real neighborhood after the war, that war that took place here.
Mm-hmm.
And most of these houses and homes and this community was built around that period of time,
mm-hmm.
along with Trevecca College and all this. And so this was the mecca of Afro-American people.
Mm.
It started from here, mm-hmm. before they went to North Nashville.
Really?
It started right here. Yes.
Wow.
That's the history, mm-hmm. behind it. T. Hubbard, what they call it, Shea Hubbard,
mm-hmm.
The church, the hospital that was there,
mm-hmm.
on First Avenue. All of that is part of the historical of South Nashville,
mm-hmm.
here. South Nashville, that Cameron School is the historical for Afro-American, where they graduated there,
mm-hmm.
high school,
mm-hmm.
that was graduated right there. It was created with some of the most athletic and some of the people that went out of the went play pro ball, mm-hmm. and sports, and
mm-hmm.
some that did all scientists and did other architectural engineering. They were known for a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I know that one of the things you hear all the time from Pearl High School and Cameron old school graduates, you know, which one is the best? You know, I got a lot of friends that talk about that all the time, you know.
Yeah.
So that was truly a king size battle back in the day. And but because of the way the schools were set up then, and discrimination and racism, then, you know, that was it. You had to go to a black school, you're black.
Right.
Yeah, so you all had a interesting situation go on in that neighborhood when it began to get gentrified. Can you speak on that for us, please, sir?
Yes, I can. Gentrification, to me, gentrification is needed in a specific time. It's needed so it allow us to move up, move in, move up, and move out.
Mm-hmm.
But not to actually, the proper word I wouldn't use, but get rid of everybody. But it's a way for us that we can move up and make it. Gentrification is necessary, but then again, and sometimes we got to learn how to live in this world together.
Mm-hmm.
To make it a simple, we are. Some people might disagree on that because we're getting displaced, or we allowing ourselves to be displaced in other areas. Sometimes that's necessary. It's good. Some of the people who learn to live. As we say in our government home, I learned to live by generation after generation. They live in government home, and they think that's what they was made to do.
Right.
They just live there after generation, generation, and that's not so. That's not so. You can do better if you've been exposed to do better.
Right. Amen.
Sometimes we are lacking. We are hindrance to our own self because we don't want to do any better, and we want to. Just keep giving with the handout. Sometimes it takes us to actually be exposed to some other things where we can get off our do nothing and do something.
Hmm.
Where we can help other people. Now, the flip side to gentrification is that not allowing them to come in and take over.
Right.
But we all allow them to come in, we work together.
Mm-hmm. Well, and knowing that's the case, a lot of the complaints and things that people have said has been, they've been offered hardly any money, pennies on a dollar, for their properties, and then those properties come back as $500,000 condos and houses, and the people that could use it the most get the least. And I know that, I know that's how America says it works, but that's been some of the impact of this gentrification that has taken place here.
It has, because you're getting a lot of those people who are selling for lease are those, most of them are majority, I ain't gonna say all of them.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say it's a half and half. You got those who families been owning that piece of particular property for 50 and 60 years,
right.
And you got the ones that's grandbabies and stuff that own drugs, and they're looking to buy their next fix. And so they end up selling and signing, but not even consulting or talking to anybody.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's where we mess up too. That's what I mean by it's a flip side to that, because some of us have got to learn to open our mouths and talk to them. We've been taught in our culture that what goes on in our house, stay in our house.
Amen.
Not to tell everybody.
Amen.
Not to talk to anybody. Not to say what this is going on. So if you're behind in your taxes, they've been paying your taxes for 10 years.
Hmm.
You've been living there, but then in order to get your property back, you got to go through this process of the court.
Right.
Where they got to go through those stipulations where you owe this money to this person first before you can get it back. You know, and that hinders us. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
That hinders us with that mentality of thinking, well, we got to actually do better. You got to be exposed to do better. How do you do that? You got to learn to open up your mouth.
True.
You got to talk to somebody.
Amen.
You got to... Somebody got to teach you some things that you don't know yet.
Yeah, amen.
And then when you get to know that a little bit, you can teach other people how to respond to when we have things like gentrification or keeping up with your people's property that they had in their family for years.
Yeah.
Not just give it away.
Amen.
That's what I meant by that.
That's true. You're right. And you know, you got to pay your taxes.
It
doesn't matter, you gentrification or not, you got to pay them taxes. And, you know, because that's how a lot of folks get got. And, you know, it's a crying shame. But then the second thought of that is a lot of folks are getting preyed upon. And that's what...
Yes, they are.
Yeah, I mean, it's like predators that these people ride around, these realty people, these house flippers, right around these neighborhoods and circle, because I see them doing up here around this neighborhood where Fisk is. I mean, it's like they drive through here as if, you know, this is a gold mine. And I'm like, y'all need to stop. I mean, it's just constant driving around looking for properties, writing it down. And I do understand that's how they do business. But don't, you know, prey on poor people. That's
right.
Yeah, and that's what one of the things. And what about you, Pastor Lattimore? Your neighborhood, immediate area, has been gentrified as well. What have the people shared with you that are over there?
Yeah, so certainly the area immediately surrounding our church has undergone significant gentrification,
mm-hmm.
And a significant transportation of that population, which, again, we're on that historic avenue of Jefferson Street,
mm-hmm.
That has been so instrumental to this African-American community.
Yeah.
And now if you go a block or two off of Jefferson, it no longer resembles mm-hmm. what it once was.
Mm-hmm.
And I certainly share with Pastor Hill the realization that there are many within our community that have just surrendered to the forces and to the systems that exist in such a way that have ensured their kind of perpetual poverty. And the same frustration that many of our community have with the political system that leads them to not participate in the voting process is the same frustration that leads them to not see any reason or any advance in participating in, whether it is the real estate forces or the job market or the educational system. There are many whose frustration have just mutated into bitterness and they've opted out of the system.
Mm-hmm.
And so certainly there is a place for us to encourage people to take whatever steps available to them to engage the systems fully. But let us also acknowledge that there's nothing positive about gentrification.
Mm-hmm.
And the system is not designed to work to lift up every vote.
Mm-hmm.
The system thrives on the perpetuation of poverty.
Mm-hmm.
And it seeks to accrue wealth to the wealthy and mm-hmm. power to the powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's no amount of human agency alone that will change these trends. And you can sit in your home all you want to and think that somehow I'm going to buck these powerful forces that are changing this neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
But odds are that you don't have the ability to do so until we challenge the system itself.
Mm-hmm.
The system is not designed to benefit the poor or people of color
mm-hmm.
or to give you a fair chance. And letting a one or two folks make it through or achieve some semblance of success
mm-hmm.
as though that speaks to the masses is just nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
That the system thrives on the uneducated, the imprisoned, and the poor. And we as churches have got to do more than simply advocate for individuals to engage. We have to fight the systems itself. We have to say no to the forces that seek to go in and really pillage
mm-hmm.
our communities and transport our people. We have to teach our people that there's more at stake than just your individual advancement, that we have to fight for those who cannot fight for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to see that play itself out on several levels in this election cycle.
Oh, yeah.
But we also see it playing itself out in the city of Nashville. This is the time, particularly for those of us who are leaders of churches, to take a stand and to say we cannot afford to allow economic systems to continue to ravage our community.
That's
and
true.
The lie the system tells is that, hey, well, if you just work hard enough and you try hard enough, you can make it. But that simply is not the case. Or if you pay your taxes, well, we got a president in office that's built an empire on not paying taxes or bills. So we know that the system doesn't respond to you faithfully following the rules.
Mm-hmm.
It responds to those who already have power.
Right.
And we as prophets and truth tellers have to acknowledge that and fight those kind of systemic forces that are tearing our communities apart.
Yeah. Well, and I will say the taxes part is because I know my own family members back growing up that didn't pay taxes and lost family properties after generations because they just was just being whoever was just being trifling. And I know that in my hometown that, you know, it hurt some people because they other ones in the family didn't know. So I'm speaking from a historical perspective of my own people.
Yes, ma'am. And you're not alone. So we all got relatives that failed to take the steps necessary and as a result suffered negative consequences.
Yes.
But we have to ask at the same time, Why is it that a company like Amazon pays no taxes?
Right.
Why is it that the wealthy continue to exhibit the same behaviors our relatives exhibit, but don't suffer the consequences?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's because the system is designed to keep them safeguarded. And so that's all. I don't want to remove the individual responsibility, but I want to acknowledge that even if you are responsible, the system is not working for your good.
Well, it's rigged, and everybody knows it's the playing field is not level. And, you know, that's some of today's struggle for sure. But at the same time, you know, both of you all, everything that you're saying is so on point. But at the same time, some of our own people are part of the problem because they've learned how to think about themselves only. And that is, I don't know which one of y'all said it, but, you know, for whichever one of you pastors has said that if one person rises and such and such, it doesn't mean they're going to want to, they're not rising up everybody else. And that's real. You know, I can see that in Nashville all the time. You know, one or two folk here got money, everybody expects them to be the tide that lifts everybody up. But no, they trying to get their tide. They are trying to get, you know, so they forget thinking about you. I mean, that them days are gone. Now, when we come back from the break, can you, and I'll ask both of you individually, can you address the kinds of things that people in your churches are, as they're going through different levels of trying to understand, you know, what God is doing and et cetera, how you've been able to address that to them that keeps them encouraged, that they can go from day to day. You know, we all you all have different ways of putting things depending on the church neighborhoods that you're in. So I would like to hear how you individually deal with your members that are in the house of all confusion right now, trying to figure out, is this, you know, what's going on in terms of the economy or health, the president, Lord help us, Jesus, on that one. We're gonna definitely all have to go down and forever on the altars and, you know, God, please, because that's, you know, thy will be done as soon as possible, God, please. So when we get back from the break, you know, that's a lot, but, you know, that is what it is. The guest pastors are Pastor David Lamar of 15th Avenue Baptist Church and Pastor Edward Hill Jr. of Holy Ground Missionary Baptist Church. Let's take a time out, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
On the next Jazz Night in America, we're in Rhode Island for a show of dynamite music from the Newport Jazz Festival through the years, handpicked and hosted by me, Christian McBride. We've got a power hour of all-stars with some of the best sets to come out of the modern era of the fest. Herbie Hancock, Roy Hargrove, Cecile McLaurin-Savant, and maybe a little bit of music from me. That's next time on Jazz Night in America. I'm Christian McBride.
Catch Jazz Night in America every Sunday from 2 to 3 p.m. and Wednesdays from 6 to 7 p.m. here at listener-supported Jazzy 88.
Matthew.
Huh? Oh, sorry.
It's okay. I just need you to listen to me. I know that a lot of times, Mom, it might not seem like I'm listening to you, but I am. I hear you. And what you say really does matter to me.
I mean, let's be honest. No kid likes rules, but I get why we have them. I hear you, and I know it's because you care.
All the talks we've had over the years, including what you've told me about not using alcohol and other drugs, they stick with me. And believe it or not, they really do make a difference, especially at times that matter most.
Hey, want a drink?
No thanks, I'm good. So thank you, Dad, for talking and preparing me for what's ahead.
Thanks, Mom, for never giving up and always being my biggest fan.
Thank you for letting me know what you expect, so I can try to meet your expectations.
Thank you for talking.
For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Mike Rowe here, reminding you to call or click 811 before you dig. I don't care if you're putting in a fence post or a mailbox or working out in the garden. There's a lot of stuff underground you can't see. And every few minutes, somebody tears into a line, pipe, cable, or wire. Don't be that person. Call or click 811 before you dig. Or better yet, go to safeexcavator.com to see what I look like rowing a boat in a sewer. It'll leave an impression, guaranteed. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com.
Are you worried about your paycheck or safety at work? The U.S. Department of Labor wants to make sure you're protected and paid properly. Call us at 866-487-WAGE or visit worker.gov.
This has been a reminder from community-minded Jazzy 88 WFSK.
Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
It's What's the 411. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All right, to Nashville. Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic Fisk University. And I am happy to have you all listening today to a live show in the studio. Bless Jesus. They're not, but me and X are in our prospective studios. And third Sunday of every month is Pastor's Roundtable. And this month, I'm blessed and highly favored to have Pastor Edward Hill Jr. of Holy Ground Missionary Baptist Church and Reverend David Lattimore of 15th Avenue Baptist Church. One's church is in the south side of the city, the other is in the north side of the city. So it's interesting to me personally to hear the similarities and yet the differences, you know, from one side of Nashville to the next. So thank you both for being with me today. This is a blessing. And I know it's a blessing for people who are listening. And before I get back into my questioning, I have to do protocol, and that I call protocol. If there is a First Lady and family connected to you all, could you please tell us who that is? Because we want to give the love to the sisters. And Pastor Lattimore, tell us who you want to say good morning to.
Amen. Well, I certainly want to say good morning to the love of my life and the First Lady of our church, Minister Tammy Lattimore, and she is away. We have a young daughter here who's on her way to college, so she's in the process of getting her to a college campus, but I certainly send my love to really the greatest gift that I've received in life from the Lord, and that's been her and my children.
Well, look here. Amen. Okay. Now, okay, no pressure, Pastor Hill, no pressure, okay?
Yeah, you put it all kind of feet. I'd like to say good morning to my leading lady, Shanetta V. Hill. She's been my leading lady for exactly 25 years now. We've been married 22 years of this year. I want to say good morning to her, and she is the joy of my life. Help us to help us function, help us move, help us get to the point where we need to be at one time. She's a strictly about on time, so I think
And those are the behind the scenes folks that be working for Jesus. And I always like to give, you know, the spouses and the loved ones a little thank you and a little light. And that's who, you know, God's there with y'all, but, you know, he sends you who he thinks you should have, for sure.
Amen.
And I'm glad to hear that. Now, Pastor Hill, I said so much during the lead up to this segment. I done put myself off the track, but I did want to get back to Pastor Hill. You're hearing from a pastor of a long time North Nashville church, and hearing some of his concerns and handles and so on and so forth. Are they similar to what you're experiencing? The question is the same for both of y'all, is from learning from each other in the neighborhoods.
Yes. We are experiencing some of the same effects in certain parts, mm-hmm. certain parts of the South Nashville area, Midtown. One of the things, like you said, about the homelessness,
yeah.
and also the ones with people are being relocated
mm-hmm.
in other areas of the city. But I also think that comes from, like I said, their personal relationship with God,
mm-hmm.
with our Lord. Second is that we got to learn to speak up and speak out. And third, that we're going to have to start moving and stop waiting.
Hmm.
We've been waiting too long,
mm-hmm.
so we missed the opportunity or the window or the door when it's open to walk through.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of us not walking through or getting walking through when the blessing is being there,
mm-hmm.
because we are, first of all, we're not, our relationship with God is shaky, and they really not sure who they praying to or who they talking to.
Mm.
Secondly, they are trying to be too personal. In other words, not wanting to open up your mouth to get help. You're letting your pride get in the way.
Mm.
And we got to start speaking up.
Yeah.
When it's time to speak up.
Yeah, truly. And I think that's all sides of town. North and south, east and west. And that's for sure. So I will say that you all definitely have that in common. What about you, Pastor Lattimore, your historic North Nashville, historic South Nashville? Are there some things that you're hearing and discovering that are similar and some that are you weren't aware of?
Yeah, so certainly, as Pastor Hill has rightly said, many of the concerns that face our community face not only just those located in around our church, but face the community across the city of Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at some of the issues that have been on the forefront of the city, whether it is its relationship with the police department,
yeah.
Whether it is concerns around economic engagement, whether it's around this issue of gentrification, whether it's around our educational systems, these are issues that confront us kind of regardless of where we're located.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, there is some specificity that certain areas of the Nashville community have experienced different rates of
mm-hmm.
gentrification.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them have experienced different levels of economic engagement.
Mm-hmm.
So there can be some and likely are variances in which issues are most important to
mm-hmm.
us, but there is also commonality that we all confront
mm-hmm.
Really some tremendous impacts on our community that we as church leaders and as churches in the community have to lift our community's focus up.
Mm-hmm.
And Pastor Hill rightly said it. We spend too much time simply understanding God in light of its God's engagement with us as individuals.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of thinking that God is working through us for mm-hmm. the good of a greater community,
mm-hmm.
so that God is never relegated to simply what he does for me,
mm-hmm.
always what he is doing through me
mm-hmm.
for others. And as we begin to get our community to think differently about its relationship with God and its relationship with one another, we'll
mm-hmm.
begin to see more positive change occur.
Amen. Now, having said that, Pastor Hill, both of you all giving your thoughts, what over time, what are your members saying and about the struggles, or they, you know, or their understanding and their ability to be able to weather the storm?
Well, a lot of some of them are actually they're making it, and they're, in other words, they're, what they say is they're making it do what it do. Hmm. In other words, they are taking whatever is coming their way, and they're approaching it with the understanding that they can make it. Mm-hmm. Our problem, what I find out that a lot of us, even the people that reside at our church here, some that come to your church house don't actually think that they can make it. Hmm. They don't actually believe that they're making it. They feel like they're lost. They're lost in their family. Hmm. They're lost in the house of God. They feel like they're least. They feel like they're least where they, what they say doesn't matter. Hmm. And then they'll feel like they're left out. Hmm. Because of the first two things, the loss and the least. Mm-hmm. They feel like they're left out in decision making about their own life. Hmm. So what I've found and discovered is that I learned to embrace them with love. And then I got to empower them, mm-hmm, using God's word that they can make it. Mm-hmm. And then encourage them that they can move on outside of the box that they're in.
Yeah.
And that's the method that I found that works for the people at this time or in this situation that we are trying to move forward during, mm-hmm, this pandemic.
Mm-hmm. No question about it. What about you, Pastor Lattimore?
Well, I'm finding again some different responses, and I guess I am encouraged in one regard, mm-hmm, and that is I have members of my church who were who have demonstrated a remarkable resiliency. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are the men and women who sat at that Woolworth counter in downtown Nashville. Mm-hmm. And these are the men and women who were TSU students who walked and fought against the challenges that our community faced. These are former freedom riders and, mm-hmm, fighters for the well-being of our community. Mm-hmm. And this opportunity has reminded them of the great work that needs is yet undone, mm-hmm, and tapped into that natural resiliency. And so I have been both encouraged, and I celebrate the fact, mm-hmm, that the African-American community is not a community that is unexposed and unfamiliar to hard work, mm-hmm, and fighting challenging circumstances. The challenge we face, however, is we have a generation of African-Americans who, for whom our greatest battles are just historical, mm-hmm, events. Mm-hmm. And so they enter into this moment ill-equipped to withstand the onslaught of the various forces that are facing our community. And so we've got to educate and inform and let them know, both in the context of their relationship with God, but also the context of their own history, that they were made for this moment, mm-hmm, that none of the challenges we confront are so great that either our God or what our God has placed in us cannot, mm-hmm, rise to this moment.
Amen.
And to encourage them to think differently about how God is calling us to have an impact on the many parts of our community that are struggling.
Amen. And Pastor Hill, when people need to get a scriptural reference for when they embark on hard times or when life isn't smooth, and, you know, how, I mean, the whole process of, you know, just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you're going to not go through some things. Where do you take them at holy ground to get spiritually fed?
Most majority of the time that I've found to be on a personal level, mm-hmm, is that to give them a guidance is, most of them, like I said, they are active on their phone. So I tell them to Google it, ask the question, Google it. And you got all these tools that are referenced to you. You got dictionaries. You got all these things that are referenced to you that you can get what you need at a moment, the click of a finger,
right,
if you need it. If I don't know it off the top of my head, so there's no excuse that you can't get what you need.
True.
When you can get it. So what I'm saying is, you got all those different commentaries and everything at the click of your finger on your phone. All you got to do, type it in and it'll pop right up. Now, the problem is, what we're finding is, you got to get the right information for you.
Right.
For your problem that you're in. There's a lot of information out there, but you got to get to read through those definitions, mm-hmm, of information that help you get to where you need to be at your moment or need.
Well, in addition to that, we all know that the internet is not the Holy Grail. And so, you know, that is at their fingertips. But when you're talking, you know, look under such section, such and such, Old Testament, New Testament, Scripture, based on what you know from all your years of being a pastor and a man of God.
Mm-hmm. I was, well, you know, that comes with your learning, your teaching, to open up your mind of learning and teaching.
True.
When you allow them to study the Bible, to study the Word.
Yes.
Like now, like when we was being taught then, we learned the 66 books of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Those 66 books, 27 in the New and 36 in the Old. And then we'll learn as to which one is the longest chapter, or which one is this, or which one is that.
Yeah.
And by me knowing, if not knowing off the top of my head, I allow them to think. I like to challenge people and allow them to think
mm-hmm.
about what they're doing and what they're saying. A lot of times, I do know, I understand that truth about whatever you want to know is already ingrained in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And it's already ingrained in your heart according to the Word.
Yeah.
What you need to do, you need to start asking that which is in you, what that is in you can come out.
Amen. But you got to study. You got to study, though.
You got to study. You got to study. That never negates not studying. Yeah. Studying is always needed.
Yes, absolutely. Because, you know, if you're not studying and paying attention, you're going to miss a lot. You're going to miss a lot. And, Reverend Lattimore, where would you send your church members to for to trust in God during times like this?
Yes, ma'am. What we often recommend to our members is, in times like this, one of the great resources of our faith is the Book of Psalms.
Yeah.
Because the beauty of the Book of Psalms is that while its title refers to celebration, the Book of Psalms is filled with more petitions of lament and sorrow than it is with praise.
Yeah.
And it gives us the realization that our prayer life, there is an appropriate part of our prayer life,
yeah,
where we lift up our sorrows and we lift up our challenges, and that we speak to God with great honesty and candor about mm-hmm. how we're doing. One of the Psalms that we looked at recently was the 42nd Psalms, where mm-hmm. it talks about, you know, God, why am I in the dumps, and why am I singing the blues,
mm-hmm.
and why do I feel the way I do? And we know that there are many Christians that are really struggling
mm-hmm.
emotionally and spiritually and mentally and economically. And so the 42nd Psalms is just one of many places where you see the psalmist express the mm-hmm. feelings that most of us encounter, and yet at the same time also offers the believer the invitation to still trust in the Lord, and to, as the psalm writer says, I pant and I thirst after the Lord
mm.
like a deer running after water, that I recognize the incredible and invaluable role that my relationship with God plays in me sustaining myself.
Yeah.
God did not promise us that we would not have difficult moments. He promised us that he would not abandon us in those moments, and that he would give us the strength to bear it. So helping believers understand, one, you can go to God and be honest.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't got to pray like we do in church, where everything is thou and therefore it's, and everything is fine and highly favored. You can talk to God honestly.
Yeah.
Tell him how you're feeling.
Yeah.
As the songwriter said, tell him all about your troubles.
Yes, Lord.
And God will meet you in that moment.
Yeah.
And then give you the strength to sustain yourself.
Amen.
In ways that will be a blessing not only to you, but everyone who is attached to you.
Amen. So y'all done heard it now from two different pastors. So don't faint out there, okay? It's the 411 Show's Pastors Roundtable for the month of August. Let's take the time out, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance.
Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
This weekend now, Blues Time in the City.
With the technology today to make everybody think you can really, really sing.
That's Jesse James. He's with us this weekend. And this weekend, the 16th, marks the second anniversary of the transition of the Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin. Join me, Rosine Bailey, the happiest man in America, for Blues Time in the City this weekend. Catch Blues Time in the City Sundays from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on Jazzy 88.
Meet Ingrid, fiery spirit, caring grandma, proud trucker.
I've logged more than 4 million miles in my truck. If people knew what I know, lives could be saved. I was driving outside of Ohio when a gentleman stopped suddenly in front of me. But it takes my 80,000-pound truck 200 yards to stop. I'd given myself extra room, but it's not a chance worth taking.
It's our roads. It's our safety.
Visit www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
We are strong, we are resilient, and we will get through this together. But these are stressful times, and it's important to also practice good self-care. It's normal to feel overwhelmed, anxious, or afraid, but there is hope. Reach out to someone, connect with your friends, stay in touch with your community, and know that you are not alone. Learn more at wearebroadcasters.com/hope. Furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
You let him try violin because you love him. And if you love him that much, love him enough to make sure he's buckled up and in the back seat. Find out more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
This has been a reminder from community-minded Jazzy 88 WFSK.
Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
It's What's the 411. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All right, to Nashville. Sharon Kay is straight up in this house. Straight up. I ain't playing. And mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK. And let me say good morning and thank you so much to the 411 show's longtime sponsor, and that is Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Cannot thank you enough for supporting this show for all these years and being faithful over some things. Now, Pastor's Roundtable for this month, it's three Sundays into the month, and I'm happy to have in the studio with me Pastor Edward Hill Jr. of Holy Ground Missionary Baptist Church. In a few minutes, I will have both of them tell you all what time is the Catch Their Online services and blase and blah, blah. And then before we close up, you'll get a chance to hear that. And also Pastor David Lamar of 15th Avenue Baptist Church. And thank you for your time and being here today. In dealing with people, and I work in the media, I recognize that. And I've been on the air as a talk show host since gasoline was cheap. So, I mean, I ain't playing either. So, I have heard over many, many years of doing this, people going through hard times, the recession and, you know, different things that happened with the mortgages and, you know, Wall Street and, you know, just et cetera, et cetera. But right now, it seems to be a very heavy time. People are having a heaviness because this is, you know, we haven't had a pandemic in 102 years. That means in none of their lifetimes, our lifetimes. So as far as that is concerned, Pastor Lattimore, could you strengthen up people who think God doesn't care or doesn't love them during this time, and that in this journey as a Christian, you're going to have some hard times?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that's the key thing to keep in mind. We live at a day and time when popular preaching has suggested that the measure of my Christian faith is the degree to which I avoid troubles and enjoy blessings. Hmm. And it is a false gospel. The reality of life is, and this, the truth of the scripture is, that believers are going to encounter hard times. And I think for evidence of that and a response to that, you don't have to look any further than some of the writings of David, who certainly both experienced great blessings at the hand of God, but also underwent difficulty and challenges, even though he is considered a man after God's own heart. And so I direct folk back to King David and his life. I am particularly encouraged by the first Samuel, the 16th chapter, that talks about David's early days and the ways in which God was about to anoint the king. And he was overlooked and left at home. And you've got to believe that at home, sequestered and quarantined from his family, he wondered why and where was God present in his life.
Right.
But we know how the story unfolded. God had a purpose that could not be denied. But he had to live through these particular moments of isolation and rejection and trouble. And again, I look at, given his life, what did he write for us? And one of my favorites is the 27th Psalm, where David musters the courage to say, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom or what will I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom or what shall I be afraid?" And we want to encourage believers today that in spite of what you see around you, in spite of what you may be going through, not only is God present, but God is so great that he is able to bring out of your difficulty both his glory and your elevation. He is able to do in this moment what you cannot imagine can be done. Amen. But you have to put your trust in the Lord and believe that God is going to carry you safely through.
Amen. And Pastor Hill, what do you have for us?
I have the, in the New Testament, the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And John also in particular, when he talks about, especially where our favorite scripture, when we talk about John 3:16 and 3:17, but also in John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24, when he said, "Yet a time is come that has now, when the true worshiper will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are a kind of worship the Father seeks, and God is a spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth." And that's a roundabout way John brings us a sort of approach to it about us in love of the way we should worship God, the way we should look at God, because we don't have the ability to look at God. We need to quit looking at God as if he's not there or he doesn't exist. But we need to encourage people that God does exist, and we should worship him with our whole heart.
Amen. Amen. Now, whole heart. Not half heart.
Yeah.
And therein lies the problem for so many. And when people can't be in your perspective places of worship to express themselves, do you let them know that it's okay to be happy at your house or thankful to be in the car? And, you know, I mean, because it seems like the struggle, I'm hearing so much from Christians or people of faith that, you know, they don't get it. And they've been good and, you know, and all this, the heavy weight that comes with death and destruction and, you know, loss of job and et cetera. So share with us, Pastor Lattimore, some encouraging words as we go up to the top of the hour.
Amen. I would pick up on Pastor Hill's thoughts. He referenced the Gospel of John, and I would turn to John 11, where we have the great miracle of Lazarus. But what to me is so profound in that passage is that he clearly loves Lazarus. and yet he still allows Lazarus to die and to experience the difficulty of death. Mm-hmm. And yet out of that moment gives a place of great rejoicing. He loves Mary and Martha. Mm-hmm. And little do they realize as they stand in front of the tomb of their brother that God is about to establish a worship service mm-hmm. and a moment of great celebration in the midst of their grief. And in like manner, God is able to take us in every moment and change our circumstances around. And mm-hmm. you've said it rightly. We should not believe, and hopefully people are learning, mm-hmm. that our worship and our encounter with God does not happen in the grandeur of our churches or our cathedrals. But God will meet you in your hoopty. God will meet you in your living room. God will meet you in your bathroom, your backyard, on the neighborhood, and give you mm-hmm. a moment to celebrate mm-hmm. all that God has done mm-hmm. and is doing in your life. So don't allow your thoughts to be that I can only worship him in certain settings.
Yes.
Hopefully he's teaching all of us mm-hmm. that God is present everywhere. God can be in every circumstance, and even those moments of life that don't look like
yeah.
places of worship. God Amen. Can turn it around and have you celebrate.
Yes, he can.
Even at the tomb side, even mm-hmm. at the graveside, even in the place of your greatest difficulty in these very dark days, yes. God can still bring up a praise in your life as God gets his own glory.
Amen. Pastor Hill, go ahead and take us to the next level.
I would also like to impart one of my favorite scriptures, passage of scriptures in the book of Isaiah.
Mm-hmm.
Isaiah allows us to see in Isaiah chapter 25 and Isaiah chapter 26 in particular, because it is a particular passage of scripture that dictate a song,
yeah.
a song of victory for yeah. God, for God's people. But it gets down to when you begin to see Isaiah 26:3, it says, "The Lord will keep you in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on the Lord and who trust in the Lord."
Yeah.
But it also in 26:4, it said, "Trust in thy Lord Jehovah,
mm-hmm.
so that you can gain strength." And I encourage those at this point in time is that you can make it.
Yeah.
You can make it. You got to repeat God's word back
yes.
to God.
Absolutely.
Not to signify that you don't know, but to repeat his word back to him because he wants to hear that.
Amen.
That good that you actually believe mm-hmm. what mm-hmm. he has told you.
Yes.
And believe what he has told you that you can make it.
Yeah.
See, too many all the time we allow things of the world, things around us,
yes.
to allow us to be depressed and to feel oppressed,
mm-hmm.
but when we should be encouraged
yes.
and empowered by the word, they can embrace us with the love
Amen.
And with the strength of the word that we believe.
Amen. So knowing what you just said, Pastor Hill, okay, the folks are getting weary. They got a pandemic and a president. And it's,
right.
it's almost more than they can take. So that same thing would apply to that as well, right?
Right. Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yes, it would apply as well. We are trying to look for a, it's like what they had in, I think it was Jeremiah, when he said that they wanted the king instead mm-hmm. of God.
Mm-hmm.
Wanted the king, and we find ourselves now, we got people who want the king. They want somebody to lead them, a president. They're looking for somebody they can see, they can see and put their hands on and touch, instead of worshiping a God that they cannot see, but yeah. know that he's there.
Amen.
Know that he's real.
Amen. Amen.
You're actually exercising your faith
yeah.
that you cannot see, but know that that he's there.
Oh, yes.
That he is real. That he did create.
Oh, yes.
And that he will bring you through.
Right.
Pastor Lattimore said something in particular. He said something that was real neat and nice. He said that we're allowing people to want to worship God like he doesn't exist. Mm. And he does.
Mm-hmm.
He does exist.
Mm.
And we got to encourage our people that God does exist.
Yes,
he does make way for you, that he won't leave you alone.
Mm. Have mercy. Pastor Lattimore.
Yes, ma'am. I just echo the words that have already been shared.
Mm-hmm.
Now is the time in the midst of this great difficulty for us to have a more intimate and an expanded experience of
mm-hmm.
God. And I think
mm-hmm.
God is inviting all of us to step away from the certitude
oh, yes.
that we have about how he works and to recognize that we have not scratched the surface
mm-hmm.
of how wonderful and how magnificent our God is, and that God is allowing us to go through these very challenging moments so that we might learn something different about him and about what God is doing through us.
Amen.
So now is the time to draw strength from our history and to remember what God has already done.
Mm.
But God is also inviting us to be open to the ways in which he works that we might not be familiar with.
That's right.
And to believe and to see that God is doing a great thing. And then finally, not to rest on just what God is doing for us,
right,
but what is it that God is choosing to do through us,
truly,
for the good of those around us. Any idea of God that stops with just what God is doing for me is inherently incomplete.
Mm.
God is blessing us so that we might be a blessing to others. And
Amen.
Certainly this city is in desperate need of Christian churches and Christian communities that can look beyond their own needs and
yes.
see how God is working through
oh,
them
yes.
to meet the needs of others.
Oh, yes, Lord. 170,000 people have died from the coronavirus in this country.
Mm-hmm.
That's beyond the pale. So I'm just sending out some encouragement to people who care about their fellow man. And please keep these families in your prayer. This is a United States number. And, you know, if you
Amen.
Don't think stuff is real, you better ask somebody. Now, I want to thank Pastor Edward Hill Jr. of Holy Ground Missionary Baptist Church. And, Pastor, would you tell the audience where you all meet in normal circumstances and how you're meeting now to meet the needs of the community?
In our normal circumstances, we are meeting at 1034 First Avenue South at Cameron College Prep School, is formerly known that, but it's known as the Cameron High School, the old historic Cameron High School, First Avenue South, 1034. We meet at 10:30 on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Now we are doing our worship hour on Facebook Live.
Mm-hmm.
Facebook Live at 10:30. You can promptly see me. You get on Facebook, you punch in my name, mm-hmm. Edward Hill Jr.,
mm-hmm.
you'll see it come up. And you can listen to our morning worship there on Thursday at 10:30.
Amen. What are you going to go today on your service? What you going to talk about?
Today, we're going to talk about trusting in the Lord.
Amen. So don't let that keep y'all from going online and checking that out. And Pastor Lattimore,
yes,
tell us, please, about 15th Avenue Baptist Church, where they're normally located, but how you all are doing service now during the COVID-19.
Amen. So we're located at 1203 9th Avenue North in Nashville, near the intersection, again, of Rosa Parks and Jefferson. And right now we're meeting virtually. You can go to our website, 15thave.org. 15th Ave, and you can see our weekly sermons posted, and also go to our calendar so that you can participate in the Zoom calls on Mondays for our devotional, and on Wednesday mornings and Wednesday afternoons for our Bible study. And we welcome and invite all of our community to come and to participate in whatever way they choose to, at whatever time they choose to, in our worship service. Our sermons are online on demand, so you don't have to just view us on Sunday morning.
Amen.
You can come anytime you want to and see a good sermon.
Amen. Amen. And then you can get a blessing 24/7.
Amen. Amen. You can get a blessing and you can leave a blessing.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Amen.
Yeah.
Through our online giving. Amen.
Yeah, that's don't let nothing stop that, y'all. That's important. X, didn't they do a beautiful job today?
They did excellent. I just sat back and listened to all the
wisdom
and knowledge.
I know, you were so quiet. I'm like, uh-oh, y'all done hit the cord in there. He ain't said a word. And that's, you know, just beautiful. And I appreciate you. And we're going to keep your congregations and the people in your families lifted up. Today's show, as all the shows, go up on the podcast, SharonKays411.com, my website. The show has a website, and where it says podcast, hit it. And there's almost 300 episodes of shows up there So if you miss somebody or a book or a pastor or a church, just go up there and pick it out and listen to it. So thank you all both for being here. And we're going to let you give us our word of prayer in a tag team, pastors. We're going to start with you, Pastor Hill. And then I will say your name, Pastor Lattimore, and then we're going to go immediately to you, okay?
Amen.
Pastor Hill.
All right. Our Father, we thank you for this day of blessing. We ask now that you guide us as we lay this foundation of your holy church, as we are laying in resilience of trying to understand about who you are, where you are, and where you want us to be. God, we shall thank you for a great opportunity to spread your word, the gospel, to the people who are listening by radio and the people who are listening by visual aid on their devices of their social media standpoint. God, we say thank you, God. We love you for it all. Bless right now, God, our family.
Yeah.
Touch right now, especially my family, as we gave back a homegoing celebration on my uncle on yesterday, God, that you would touch right now. My family needs you. We need you right now. Miss Katie, we need you. My mom and sisters and brothers need you. My cousins down in West Tennessee, we need you, God, because we love you.
Lord.
And we can't make it without you, God. Strengthen us right now. That life must go on.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got a job to do, God. We got a job to lift up your holy name up to a dying world that don't seem to know who you are or where you are and where you want them to be.
Yes.
And God, encourage us to do better, God. We are trying to encourage people to do better, the ones, especially to those that are outside your ark of safety who don't really know you. God, strengthen us. Give us a powerful word that can reach and teach and touch them in such a way that will bring them and draw them closer to you, God.
Yes,
we love you for it all.
Amen. Amen. Pastor Lattimore.
Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we now stand before you, and we present you ourselves as we are, in all our frailties and all of our limitations, with our fears and our frustrations, our anxiousness and our concerns, our joys and our places of celebration. All that we are, we stand before you, and we honestly present ourselves, and we celebrate the fact that you love us just as we are. That we need not come before you and present ourselves with a facade or in a false way, but we can stand before you honestly, Lord, and lift up every element of who we are. And as we do so, Father, to remind ourselves that your abiding and unwavering love stands with us and guides us through this moment. So I just ask you, Lord, for every listening ear, to whisper their names into their ear and remind them that they were created by you and that they are special to you.
Amen.
To remind us that as long as we depend upon you, God, you will be the source of our strength and our power. Remind us that what we see before us doesn't represent all that there is, but you are a God that exists above the facts of our life to do your will. So just have your way, Lord. And strengthen and encourage those who might be depressed or weakened. Give strength to those who seek their way forward. Bless the families that are gathered by the radio side or on their computers listening to this moment, that they may again be encouraged and strengthened in you. And bless this woman of God and all who work with her to continue to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. We can start thanking you now, Lord, that we will live through this moment and that we will see your glory manifested in our lives and the lives of those of our community. So in your son's holy name we pray. Amen.
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 That was just
Amen.
Beautiful. Now, y'all should have felt something on that. I'm just saying all that praying and carrying on. Now, I'm going to leave you with this, though, today. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. And that's Hebrews 1 through 3. You all have the very best of the best. And don't forget who loves you.
You've been listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station and its management.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.